Grace and peace, everyone. This is Pastor Garfield Crombie from Divine Word Impact Kingdom Ministry. We are a ministry that is built for purpose and designed for impact. I am your host. Welcome to the Empowerment Zone. In continuing with the series concerning understanding the importance of studying God's Word, my new sub-train of thought is the Word is God's faith builder. Romans 10:17 tells us that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Word of God teaches us on the sovereignty of God, the integrity of God, and the faithfulness of God. The Word or promise of God goes more to the issue of His integrity and His faithfulness than it does to His sovereignty. So our faith in God must be based or built upon our understanding of His sovereignty, His integrity, and His faithfulness. God is not moved by our emotion. God is not moved by our lack. God is not moved by our need. God is moved by His Word and our faith. The Word of God carries or contains what I call the six components of faith. The first component of faith is the law of faith. Romans 3:27 tells us that faith is a law. Hebrews 11:6 tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. For they that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So if God makes you a promise, which then causes Satan to move against you. If the law of faith is not present, then Satan has not broken any law, so God cannot legally move against him. According to Romans 4:15, where no law is, there is no transgression. A law must officially exist in order to legally define a violation. So if God makes you a promise or sends you a word and you embrace it and you receive it, that activates the law of faith. And if Satan moves against you, God has the legal grounds upon which to move against him because he is in violation of a law. The second component of faith is the law of righteousness. The word righteousness is a legal term which means to be in good or right standing with. God cannot work in unrighteousness. So when He wants to work or do something in our life, He sends us a word that will create the climate or environment of righteousness in which He can work. Because according to Proverbs 16:12, the throne is established in righteousness. Genesis 15:6 tells us that Abraham believed God and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. If belief is righteousness, then unbelief is unrighteousness. And this environment of unbelief or unrighteousness prevented Jesus from working according to Matthew 13:58, where it states, for Jesus could not do many mighty works because of the unbelief. The third component of faith is what I call the law of the title deed. According to the online dictionary, the purpose of a title deed is to formally transfer property ownership from a seller to a buyer. It is the legal document that proves ownership. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. One of the meaning of substance there is title deed. So it would read, now faith is the title deed of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When God makes you a promise, if you are not in possession of the title deed, then you have no legal claim to the promise. The word substance in the Greek is hypostasis. It means that which stands under. It carries the idea of a foundation or that which gives support. So the law of the title deed provides us with the evidentiary support and the foundational standing to legally lay claim to the promise. Without it, there can be no transactional transfer, deposit, or impartation from heaven. The fourth component of faith is the law of the image. In Matthew 22:17-21, the Pharisees asked Jesus if it was right to pay taxes unto Caesar, or to pay tribute unto Caesar. Jesus asked them to bring him a money, a coin. And the Bible says they brought the coin to him, and Jesus looked at it and asked them, whose image and superscription is on this coin, is on this money? And they said, it is Caesar's image or superscription that is on the coin. Jesus went on to say to them, give unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and give unto God what belongs to God. The moral or principle of Jesus' response is that the thing belongs to the one whose image it bears. So when God makes us a promise and we receive and embrace it in faith, our faith stamps our image on the promise. Because of the law of the image, which states that the thing belongs to the one whose image it bears, heaven have to, in judicial fashion, release the fulfillment and the manifestation of the promise to me. The fifth law is the law of justification. To justify in the Greek means to declare someone righteous, to acquit, to vindicate, or to make righteous. In light of this definition, it is clear to me that the idea of justification carries both judicial and moral implications. It is also clear to me that according to Romans 8:1-2, justification speaks to being delivered from the penalty of sin. For the scripture said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the life of the Spirit of the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So we see here that justification delivers from the penalty of sin. So the law of justification gives us peace with God and access to God, according to Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 2. The law of justification clothes us with the imputed righteousness of Christ, according to 2 Corinthians 5:21 and Romans 4:21-25. Then we have the sixth component, or the law of sanctification. This word means to be set apart, consecrated, or made holy for God's purpose. So sanctification carries the idea of purity, according to 1 Thessalonians 4:3-5. Sanctification speaks to the ongoing process or progression in holiness, which allows for our progressive transformation by the Lord into his image and into his likeness. So while justification delivers us from the penalty of sin, sanctification delivers us from the power of sin. So these six components of faith each one being an aspect of faith is required for us to walk. The scripture says we walk by faith and not by sight. So it allows us to walk by faith and not by sight. It allows us to walk worthy according to the vocation wherewith we have been called. It allows us to walk according to the perfect and royal law of liberty. Remember, it is not my lack that moves God. It is not my need that moves God. It is not my emotion that moves God. But God is moved by his word and by my faith. So when God gives us a promise and we believe it and we embrace it, we activate the law of faith. We activate the law of righteousness. We activate the law of the image. We activate the law of justification. We activate the law of sanctification, which allows us to present our bodies as a living sacrifice to God, holy and acceptable unto the Father, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And as we study the Word of God, as we meditate on the Word of God, as we ingest and digest the Word of God, we're able to come into full possession of the six components of faith that allows us to stand, and having done all to stand, it allows us to gird ourselves with the whole armor of God. It allows us to stand and to resist the enemy. It allows us to put the enemy to flight. It allows God to move on our behalf. It allows God to show up and to throw his weight around. It allows God to put our enemy on notice. It allows God to keep our enemy at bay. It allows God to keep our enemy in check, because we are in full possession of the six components of faith. And when we come in possession of the six components of our faith, we ourselves become a lawful abiding citizen of the kingdom of heaven. When we embrace the six components of faith, it allows God to stand on our behalf. It allows God to fight our battles for us. It allows God to be God in our life. When we embrace the six components of faith, we allow God to do what only God can do. The scripture says in the book of Psalms concerning the children of Israel in the wilderness, that because of their unbelief, they limited the Holy One of Israel. God is not limited in power. God is not limited in might. God is not limited in his ability. But because we are not walking according to the law of faith, because we're not walking according to the law of righteousness, because we're not walking according to the law of the title deed, because we're not walking according to the law of justification, because we're not walking according to the law of sanctification, it can limit the Holy One of Israel and what he can do for us. The Bible said that Jesus, God in flesh, could not do many mighty works in his own hometown because of their unbelief. Our faith is the license that heaven needs in order to operate. Our faith is earthly license for heavenly interference. And when God sees our faith, when God sees our trust and confidence in him, it moves him to move on our behalf. It moves him.